Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or, what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I have to admit that this Jesus in today's gospel reading is not my favorite one. He kind of seems a little bit different than the Jesus I remember from before sabbatical. And so when I sat down and I was reading through this text, I really thought I probably should have just stayed on sabbatical one more week and gave this one to Pastor Tom, right? Well, nevertheless, we're going to have to work with this text here today, you and I. And I have to say, Jesus' discussion of discipleship, it really struck a chord with me. It made the whole discipleship thing sound scary and tense, and frankly, it was really off-putting. Now, before I get too deep into what Jesus said, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So, since it's still summer, and you didn't get a lot of this from me, I'm going to kind of do the call and response kind of thing. So, does anybody know, how would we, like, define what a disciple is? Shout it out. I won't be able to tell really who it is from way up here, so, especially with masks on, some of you. Did I hear follower? Yes, a follower, right? So, disciple is just a fancy term for a follower of Jesus. Disciple, follower of Jesus. So, a disciple is a follower of Jesus, and discipleship, which is what Jesus is talking about, is our response to God's action that helps us better align our words and thoughts and deeds with God's vision for the world. Okay, so we got that. So now let's jump into the content, and the shocking content, I would argue. Did you hear in verse 26, Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." So at first, knowing me, I wondered if that sentence was translated correctly. Maybe it's just like a funky error, you know, people make mistakes. Turns out, translated correctly. So, I was trying to figure out why in the world, you know, would we use the word hate? Why did Jesus use the word hate? Hate is such a strong word. I mean, whatever happened to the commandment to honor your father and mother? Or what about loving your neighbor? I mean, what in the world is going on with Jesus in today's text? Well, people who are way smarter than me, well, they kind of dug into this and they looked around, and it turns out that Jesus intentionally was trying to shock us by using the word hate. He is not saying that we should commit acts of violence against our family or even ourselves to become a disciple. I want to make sure that you hear that from me, plain and clear. Don't go killing your parents later today or your children. Rather, Reverend Dr. Caroline Sharp, she notes that Jesus is using a literary technique to underscore that as disciples, we should not allow something less valuable to displace something more valuable. So Jesus is assigning value here. And so what is going on here is basically he's saying that we should not let our tendency to focus on ourselves, our marriage, our children, our family, to be the primary focus, but rather discipleship goes beyond tribal or familial units. Discipleship goes beyond our nation. Discipleship, in fact, even goes beyond our species. You see, discipleship is about what is good and right and just and loving towards all of creation. And so when I think about it, I don't know about you, but I probably needed Jesus to say that word hate today, or I might have just glossed over the point that he was trying to make. I think also early on using the word hate kind of prepared me for that last sentence, something else that was going to kind of grind at me a bit. So in verse 33, Jesus says, "None of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." Oof. My Amazon account is just shuddering at hearing that. But I have to say that this shock and awe kind of campaign, this technique that Jesus is using, it did stop me in some ways from resisting. I mean, I already resisted hate earlier on, so I'm maybe not resisting quite as much as Jesus gives me this last sentence. And so it kind of exposed me. It revealed a path that is before me, if I like it or not. It exposes the choice. The choice that each of us have as Christians, the choice to follow the way of Jesus or to follow some other way, the choice to truthfully, honestly enact the gospel or to domesticate it into something that fits our own ideas. The choice between a domesticated gospel of power and privilege and intentional omission to get ahead in life, or the true gospel of justice and love and truth. You see, it's the choice between a domesticated gospel of selfishness, aggression, and tit-for-tat responses, or God's gospel of radical generosity and forgiveness and peacemaking. It's the choice between a domesticated gospel that worships a family-first mentality, that reveres individualism and venerates the ego, or the biblical gospel that acknowledges that when all succeed, well, then I too succeed, or the true gospel that declares selling everything so that all can share of God's abundance, or the living gospel that says our diversity is a gift from God that makes us stronger. You see, friends, today, in the end, we are presented with a choice between the gospel, that is God's gospel, or a domesticated gospel warped by something ungodly. That is the choice before us. So last month, this is where I give a little story because it sounded kind of fire and brimstone-y. So now I give a story, then we wrap it up, so stick with me. So here's the story. Last month, I had the opportunity to join about 1,000 other Lutherans for our denomination's churchwide assembly. Now, every 3 years, Lutherans from all over the United States and the Caribbean, well, they all go to a place and they gather to discern how the Holy Spirit is moving in the church at that specific moment. Now, 6 years ago, so not the last churchwide assembly, but the one before that, they repudiated the doctrine of discovery. Anybody heard of doctrine of discovery before? I see one person shaking head. Two? Okay, we've got two hands. So the doctrine of discovery, very briefly, in repudiating it, the church apologized for and named that we are all beneficiaries from a 15th century Christian directive that sanctioned the brutal conquest and colonization of non-Christians who were deemed, quote, enemies of Christ, found in Africa and the Americas. So this was a thing that the Vatican put out, and then monarchies all across the European continent then decided that they were going to charge, and they are coming to Africa and the Americas, and you can kill anyone and still go to heaven, is what they said. Nothing done wrong, as long as they're not Christian. You kill them, they don't exist as people. So anyway, we repudiated that 6 years ago. This year, a few weeks ago, the ELCA then made a public confession to the native peoples of this country regarding the doctrine of discovery and committed to strengthening our efforts to work for justice and equity for indigenous people. What does that mean, right? Well, so we committed as a denomination that we are going to learn about the whitewashed history of what has been done to indigenous people. And we committed to using action. Maybe that's through things like land acknowledgments, just acknowledging that where we are sitting today used to be land from other tribes. We might do that in our bulletins or at the beginning of our services or gatherings, just to bring awareness. So too, one of the memorials that was passed was that the church was going to encourage congregations who are closing for a variety of different reasons, right, to consider either returning that land or the money to local tribes as a part of dissolving their congregations. And I'm gonna, in today's e-news or tomorrow's e-news or whenever the e-news comes out, I'm gonna put some information so you can read a little bit more about that if you want, the declaration, all that other kind of good stuff. But anyway, so here I am, churchwide assembly, and I was really struck by this concept of returning land to our indigenous brothers, sisters, siblings. After all, if you think about it, many indigenous peoples did not have this concept of land as a commodity in terms of like individual ownership, right? Rather, they shared a tradition of collective rights to lands and resources. And so it was the colonization of the Europeans that brought individual ownership and privatization, that this whole new idea was brought to this continent. So you see, when the settlers were then going and buying land from the native peoples, the indigenous peoples, well, they believed that this kind of interaction was about that they were giving them the right to use the land with them, like a lease that we're going to share together. It was going to be shared and kind of occupied as a collective. So as I think back to kind of that indigenous way of thinking, and then I hear Jesus speak today about giving up all that I possess, I cannot help but think about this connection. The tribes that had no concept of individual possession, they kind of had a model like Jesus is urging us to embrace today. A belief that all things can, could, and perhaps should be shared. A vision, not of scarcity, but one of abundance for all of creation. So, as I wrap up here, I want to name something. And this is probably more important than everything else I've said so far. So if you've heard nothing else, kind of come back to me. You can think about your grocery shopping list or the barbecue that might get rained out later today, all that stuff. A little bit later, reading today's gospel, it kind of sounds like it's not very Lutheran. It feels like decision theology, about what we do, about the choices that we make. Now, the thing is discipleship is our choice. There's no doubt about it. It's our opportunity to respond to a God who adores you. But here's the more important truth that I don't want to gloss over today. Our choice is neither the most significant nor the very first choice. For our God has already chosen to love you particularly, but also to love you like y'all, right? You all together as a collective. God's gift of salvation, along with God's desire for justice and peace, are given freely. There's nothing that you can do. The choice has been made, and your discipleship or lack thereof as a Christian cannot increase or decrease that love. You can't lose it, and you can't find more of it. Rather, today's gospel, though, is getting us to think about our choice and how we respond to that love. The love is there, no matter what. Can't do anything about it. You are loved, you are cherished. But the question is you have a choice in how you might respond. A response to that love freely given in baptism, that today Theo and Vivian were reminded that they are forever loved by our God and that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And so, too, God promises to walk with us as we go through life. Sometimes choosing the path of life that God wants for us, and sometimes choosing that selfish commodification of others. And the hope, though, is that we can begin to follow Christ's pathway more and more. That we can follow Christ's example, that we can be Christ's disciple, that we can love and share and live abundantly. And so, the question put before us today and every day is we need to choose, will we follow a domesticated gospel or will we follow God's gospel? Which one will we ultimately choose, knowing that our God already loves us and you are forever in God's care? My prayer as we continue together is that we might, in little ways and big ways, continue to embody the love that our God has already shown through discipleship. Amen.